Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Sarah Calvert. Sarah is a true small business attorney, and she's a principal in Calvert & Associates PC, a law firm which she started in 1991. She attended Mary Washington College in Fredericksburg, Virginia for her undergraduate degrees in economics and international business. She received her Juris Doctor degree from the George Mason University School of Law in Arlington, Virginia. She has devoted her practice to providing small business clients the best legal services and business resources so they can get on with doing what they do best. And I'll also let you know that something that I'm very proud of her for, and I know I've bragged on her for this before, but I want you to know that a lot of attorneys are members of small business, members of their chambers of commerce, but many of them are not, because many times small business issues and attorney issues are at cross purposes. And Sarah is a very proud member of the Central Fairfax, Virginia Chamber of Commerce. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be back.
It's always good to have you with us. And folks, what we're doing, Sarah is has a program that she delivers to people called 101 Ways to Avoid Liability in Your Small Business. And that's what we've been talking about. And I'll tell you what, Sarah, you've been doing good, because I've gotten some email from folks, and people are interested in this subject, and I really appreciate the contribution you're making.
Terrific, thanks.
In fact, before we get into our next topic on our list of 101 ways to avoid liability, James tells me we have a phone call.
Oh, terrific.
Let's talk to the audience. Who we got, James?
Jim, we have Todd calling from Kansas online.
All right. Hi, Todd.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine this morning. I'm at work myself.
Well, congratulations. Say hello to Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Todd, what do you do, Todd?
We have a restaurant in an industrial park.
Is this your restaurant?
Yes, it is.
Congratulations.
We're in our seventh week. New building.
A brand new baby business.
Yeah, we had a delivery and a carryout service we took over about 10 months ago.
Yeah.
And simply wasn't meeting the needs. The industrial park has about 2,200 people working here, so that's our customer base. And we're the only place to eat within, a 7-mile radius.
I'd say business is good then.
It is good. It is good.
What kind of food do you serve?
Oh, we call it an all-American menu, although we do have a Mexican Monday.
Burgers and fries and salads?
We don't have fries. We took a very popular cold sandwich chain. We took their lead, and we didn't do fries.
Well, you know, that brings on a whole different level of compliance with the health department, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
When you start, a lot of people don't realize that, Sarah. And I know you know this.
Oh, those grease traps and all
that
inspection, yeah.
That's a big deal to have fries. Yeah.
And boy, what a mess.
Yeah. Well, Todd, is there anything specifically we can help you with?
Well, I had a question. I've been listening to you only for about a week or so.
Well, thank you for listening.
Right. Yeah, and I appreciated your show.
You're listening on KCXL out of Liberty.
I think I'm listening out of Winfield.
Oh, Winfield. I'm sorry. Yes.
Right. We're just south of Winfield.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I guess it's 7 miles one way. Winfield's only about 3 or 4 miles the other way.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
How close it is. I'm in the middle of a wheat field out here.
All right.
But we moved into our new building, and, of course, we startup costs and all that's pretty hefty. And we took a modular home. It's a real pretty modular home. We converted it into a restaurant.
Good idea.
And we bought it really good. We moved into the modular home with equity. It was a couple. They were in trouble. They needed to sell it. So we just happened to come on at the right time. It's got a nice stone fireplace in it. And we went out and we bought all of our equipment at auctions. And we did it for 6 months prior to the opening because we knew we were going to do this. And we didn't incur much debt on the business itself, just the building, and everything else is paid for. But my question was, and I'm not sure this falls in line with Sarah or not, but I do have some personal liability that I need to get rid of, some unsecured debt, so to speak, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, should I take and put this on the business to reduce the rate of interest and be able to write the interest off? Rather than keeping it in my personal finances.
Is this money you borrowed yourself for the business?
No, it has nothing to do with the business.
So this is some personal debt you had before.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, Sarah, you're on.
You're going to have a tough time shifting that into the business without showing some sort of compensation to the business. Your best bet, are you an S or a C corporation?
I'm sole proprietorship.
You're sole proprietorship?
Uh-huh.
Well, there's where your problem lies. As a sole proprietorship, frankly, everything's yours and yours is everything. So there's no difference between you and the business.
Right.
And having the business pay your debts directly or having the business pay you a salary out of which you pay your debts is really the same thing in a sole proprietorship.
Uh-huh.
But the problem is that if you start to commingle funds, if you have the business directly pay your personal debts, there's going to be some questions by the IRS potentially.
Okay.
That's what I would be concerned about. What I would look for is for the business to pay you enough in order for you to pay your debts back.
I guess maybe we're misunderstanding each other.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what you're saying. My question was, could I just put the business up for collateral to refinance the debt to lessen the interest?
You could put the assets of the business up, sure, if you had some good, friendly local bankers.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd look for a good small business bank in your area. There's these days, the big conglomerates are all after either the consumer market or the big guns with the millions of dollars sitting in their bank. Make sure you're working with somebody who's really investing in the community and the small businesses.
Right. Well, we're excited about the business. We had our biggest week we ever had last week, and it was only the sixth week in our new building.
Mm-hmm.
And it stayed very steady and very consistent.
I'm gonna ask you to, can you stay tuned for a second? I got one more quick thing I want to say to you after we come back from a break.
All right.
Can you stay tuned? Okay, thanks a lot. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. Sarah, stand by. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We've got a caller, Todd, talking to us about some of his business. We've got some more stuff going on today. 888-822-8255. You, too, can join us if you'd like. All right, we're back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Sarah Calvert is our special guest and our good friend, and we're talking about keeping your business, your small business, out of liability problems, out of litigation, and we're also talking to a caller from, Todd, tell us the name of the city you're from.
Arkansas City, Kansas.
And you know what? I've been a lot of places, and I've heard of a lot of places. I've never heard of that, of Arkansas City. I don't know why, but anyway, Arkansas City. Todd, one of the things that we wanted to tell you is be careful about commingling your personal money and your company money. This is, and especially, and Sarah, you know this too, and jump in here whenever you want. Todd, one of the problems you've got is you've got a cash business. And it's awfully easy to take the cash. You got a brand new cash business in your restaurant. And Sarah, you've seen this, I'm sure, where restaurant owners can get into problems by having that much cash around.
They can also be targeted. It's something that the state officials, especially the sales tax people, and also the IRS tend to target businesses that bring in substantial amounts of cash that can go unreported. So you're a prime candidate for them to take a look at. Is all the cash being put through the cash register? Is it being put in a business bank account as opposed to a personal bank account?
Mm-hmm.
Have you got separate accounts?
And Todd, here's our best advice right now to finish answering your question. We would recommend, Sarah and I both recommend, that you find a CPA. Do you know a CPA?
Yes, I have one.
You have one?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that person. What you wanted to do earlier was a little bit of commingling, and it's probably not a good idea, but there may be some ways of structuring it so that it can be done properly. Talk to your CPA and let them help you with that, and ask your CPA to recommend a good attorney, and we recommend that you become a Subchapter S corporation or an LLC at least. Wouldn't you say, Sarah?
Absolutely. When you're working with a few things that are the most litigious things, food is very, very high on that list. Somebody gets a bad pickle and they think that the world has come to an end and you're to blame. I know it sounds silly, but the areas that we see substantial amounts of liabilities tend to be restaurants and anything having to do with children.
Right.
And those are the two people that I say, if you don't want to lose your investment and you don't want to put your assets up for grabs, and this is the time to make sure you start to make that clear distinction, get an LLC or a corporation together, and make sure that entity is protected.
Hey, Todd, let me put what she just said in a little bit of a different twist. You know that building that you're so proud of?
Right.
And that I'm so proud of you for having? Let's don't lose it.
I hear you, man.
Okay?
Okay.
Hey, Todd, have we helped? I hope we have.
Yeah, you have. And I have owned the business previously in Florida for a number of years, and it was a cash business also. We were audited.
Yeah.
So you know how that works then.
Right. And fortunately, we believe in integrity and all these other things.
How many employees you got?
Excuse me?
How many employees you got?
There's four of us, including me.
Yeah.
I got three other people. And so that's us. We're very small.
Yeah.
But it's very good business.
Way to go. Todd, is there anything else we can do for you?
No, that's just about it, I think. I appreciate your help, too.
And congratulations, Todd, on your new business.
All right. If you're ever at Strother Field, we just got a new airport put in here.
Hey, you know what? I'm a pilot. I might drop in on you one of these days.
Well, they're building a new airport as we speak. The trucks are rolling. It's going to be a mile long and very wide. The GE engine maintenance is here, so they're going to start trying to land the bigger jets here.
Congratulations. Sounds like you're going to have more business.
Hope so.
Todd, thank you. Thank you very much, Todd. And keep listening. And don't forget, Todd, you're my hero.
Hey, you're mine.
Thanks, Todd.
KKLE, that's it.
What's that?
KKLE, that's what I listen to.
KKLE, that's the station. Thank you very much.
Right,
in Arkansas City, Kansas. Thanks, Todd. See you later. All right, good call.
I love new business owners.
Oh, I do, too. And of course, as he mentioned, we he has owned a business before, so I feel a little bit better about him. But, you know, I do worry about the people who start out brand new. They've worked as an employee all their life. Maybe they never even have had a restaurant in their whole life before.
Mm-hmm.
But they've always wanted to, and you've met them, and I have too. And they start out, and they open up a business, and bam, all of a sudden they got all this business. And what they do is they start paying for capital items that they should be financing probably out of the cash register.
Yeah, they're putting large assets into the corporation, which is something I talk about later in my seminar. But you really, that modular home that he was talking about probably should be owned by himself.
No question.
And leased to the business.
Absolutely.
To keep the large asset out of the business.
It's one of the ways. It's one of the ways that small business owners can actually get wealthy one day.
Yeah, that's right.
No question about it. I feel better about him now that I know he's worked before. But I hope he does not do what you and I are about to talk about when we come back, and that's not commingling personal funds with business funds. It's 29 after the hour. Sarah, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, we'll be right back. Stay with us, 888-822-8255. All right, welcome back, Heat Rose. It's 33 after. I'm Jim Lassingame, a small business advocate. Thank you very much for joining us today. Sarah Calvert, small business attorney in the true sense of the word, is our friend and our special guest today. We're talking about how to keep your small business out of litigation, how to avoid liability. And Sarah has come up with 100, count them, 101 ways to keep your small business out of liability problems. And I want to remind you before we get into our conversation with Sarah that in the next hour, Joan Pride, associate editor with the Kiplinger Washington Letters, will be with us as she is every week to review the most recent Kiplinger Washington Letter. 888-822-8255. If you'd like to join us, that's the phone number. Sarah, let's get into part of your program here. The next thing that we need to talk about is accounting, and it's very interesting that Todd's call came in as we were about to talk about making sure that you don't commingle or confuse personal funds with business funds. How to separate personal funds from business funds.
It's absolutely critical for the small business owner to understand that the entity that he or she has created is really a separate entity. It kind of stands in the corner by itself. It has its own Social Security number. It has
actually
its own
think
existence.
Of it as a separate, like another human being.
Well, like another, it's called a person in the law. I mean,
yeah.
We call it a fictional person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very important that we understand that there has to be an arm's length relationship between myself and my business. Even though, with a sole proprietorship, in reality, I am the business. And even though I may be a corporation of only one person, those things are true legal distinctions. And what protects us is when we treat them separately. And one of the most important ways we can treat them separately is to make sure that we have separate bank accounts. I've seen so many sole proprietors over the years put all their business assets into their personal account and write their personal checks out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're asking for an IRS audit. You're asking for the IRS to deny any business expenses that you may have claimed based upon the fact they can't unravel them.
Right.
Anybody who's got a business that has retail sales tax and things like that, all of those things are subject to audit on any basis that that the state or the federal government chooses. I mean, if they come in and with a, you know, with a warrant or with a statement saying we need to review this, what they're in essence doing is looking at both your personal and your business if you've commingled them.
Well, another thing that happens in the other, on the other end of the scale is where they basically live out of their business account.
Well, that's right. That's right. And that's never a good position to be in. What you should be doing is loaning money to your corporation in true loans.
Mm-hmm.
And then paying yourself back. So you can, again, keep that arm's length transaction, and you're not just into the funds all the time.
You know what? One of the little signs that you can see that when you see people doing this, they already realize that they probably shouldn't be doing it, and so the things that they do is take the money out in the form of petty cash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many times have you seen that? Thousands of dollars in petty cash.
Unless you think that the IRS or the state is stupid, I have news for you. They know how much petty cash a business of your size should have.
That's right.
And they're going to ask you questions about where that petty cash has gone to.
Some guy is looking over at his wife at breakfast now and saying, honey, are we doing that?
Oh, please say no.
That's right. Okay. Do not commingle, folks, your personal funds with your business funds. And, you know, it's a good idea. You really need to stop for a moment, Sarah, and think about your business as a separate entity, a separate person.
Mm-hmm.
And it owns things. It hires people. It fires people. And think of it as this other entity that you actually work for. Instead of thinking of the business as you, in the legal and accounting sense, instead of thinking of the business as you, your corporation as you, think of it as your boss, that you're one of the employees.
Yeah, if you're incorporated at all, the IRS says you are an employee by law of that entity. So,
right.
You know, you're working for somebody. I always laugh when people say, I want to go into business because I want to have no, you know, I'm tired of having a boss.
Right. That's
and I would
funny.
Say you replace that one boss or maybe two bosses with hundreds of bosses. You know?
Yeah.
All of your clients, all of your employees, all of your suppliers, they're all bosses.
People tell me that, and I say, pardon me while I laugh for a minute here.
Yes, it's a fallacy about going into small business. That's the next book you and I are going to write, Tim.
Exactly.
The fallacies of going into small business.
Right. the other thing, though, is when you're thinking about your corporation, if you're thinking about doing something, think about it. Maybe you even need to say, okay, I'm going to ask my business if this was what it would like to do,
mm-hmm.
and make the business respond, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because that way, what you will do is you will begin to separate your personal motivations with what is good for your business.
It's interesting. We wear lots of hats when we run a small business, and you really need to wear two hats: the employee hat and the corporate hat. I am
right.
The today I'm the corporation, and you know, in the next 5 minutes I'm the employee. And the way that you actually have that conversation is what develops into the corporate minutes in many cases. If
mm-hmm.
if it's a substantial transaction or has a significant overarching something to do with the business, I'm going to decide to lease all my employees, and therefore I'm going to have a big contract with that. So I need to put that in the corporate minutes. I'm going to offer a benefit plan of some sort to my employees. So I need to write that up in the minutes and approve it as the employee and the provider. Those kinds of things, those conversations very often go in that direction. And then when they're financial transactions, we document them with promissory notes and,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. They're just not done on the back of an envelope. They're done in a proper manner so that somebody else could understand that even though John Smith, business owner, and John Smith, head of the corporation, are the same person, that there is a separation.
Absolutely. Well said, Sarah. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. It's 39 after the hour. When we come back, we're going to get Sarah to talk to us about how to make sure that you document loans to and from the corporation. Did you know you could do that? Did you know that you needed to do that? 888-822-8255. Give us a call. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 44 after. I'm Jim Blassing, the Small Business Advocate, and our phone number is 888-822-8255, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Sarah Calvert is our good friend and our special guest this hour, and she's helping us to understand what she calls 101 ways to avoid liability in your small business. Sarah, before we get into the next to our topic, which is coming up, which is how to document loans to and from your corporation, I'd like for you to tell our audience how they can contact you.
Sure. Last week I gave out a web page which was down, and I didn't even know it. So some kindly soul wrote me and said, your web page is down, and I discovered it. But it's www.calvert, C-A-L-V-E-R-T, and spelled out, A-N-D, associates, A-S-S-O-C-I-A-T-E-S,
okay.
.com. And it's got reference material in there. It's got answers to questions, ways to contact us. And if you want to call, it's 800-526-5665. Just tell me you heard me on Jim's show, and I would be happy to chat with you.
Great. And you can work with him virtually. I mean, if somebody wanted to call from Sheboygan and... You'll take a credit card, right?
I will take a credit card. I have clients in Russia that I've never met.
All right. Well, you know, and folks, but now I want to make something real plain, because you and I have talked about this, mm-hmm. and I appreciate this about you, Sarah. When you call Sarah, the clock doesn't start that moment.
No.
I mean, you're going to talk to them and see if there's something that you guys agree that you can help them with. And when you actually start working on the project, then you'll start billing them for it.
Absolutely.
Okay,
yep.
So you don't feel like you're going to have to whip your credit card out just to say hello to Sarah. Well, can you help me?
Right, especially if they're coming from here. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Just let me
all
know.
Right. Did you give a local number? Because we've got people listening in your area.
Sure. It's 703 in Virginia. It's 703-591-5315.
Okay, good. Let's talk about, I've got a couple of emails, Sarah, that I want to talk about in a minute, but before we do, I want to finish up this issue. There's one more issue in the accounting part of your program, and that's about the importance of documenting loans to and from the corporation and from other shareholders and listing them in the corporate minutes. A lot of people don't realize that they can loan their business money, and that many times it's a good way to capitalize your company, and a lot of people, more people know that you can loan money to yourself from the company.
Yes, it can go both ways, and there's good news and bad news on it. The good news is it doesn't have to be rigid documentation. You don't have to go out and buy a true promissory note. It just needs to have a few specific terms. You need to say how much, going whichever direction it's mm-hmm. going in. You need to say when it's going to be paid back, and something fairly vague like as soon as economically feasible is acceptable.
Right.
That's usually what we use. And we usually kind of give it an outer limit of no more than 5 years from now.
Right.
And then we say we have to state an interest rate. The IRS says you can't do a loan back and forth without some sort of interest. So
they call it imputed.
Exactly. If you don't put interest in, they will.
That's
so make sure you put the interest in there. And those are the key terms that you're going to need to have in order to document this. And
it doesn't have to be a bank promissory note.
No, it does not have to be it can be what we call a friendly promissory
note.
Yeah,
it could be 50 words.
Yes, exactly. I've done them. In the minutes, they're usually one paragraph, just stating Jane loaned to her corporation $50,000, and she's going to pay it back as soon as it's economically feasible, but no later than 5 years from now, and an interest rate of 7.5% or 2% over prime, whichever is more on the date that she repays it.
If you happen to have some money, you came into a little money or whatever, you had a good investment somewhere, or you want to cash out some stock or whatever, your company needed some capital, some working capital, don't you recommend that they loan that money to the company instead of putting it in the form of capital?
Absolutely. You're usually going to find that you can give yourself a fairly decent interest rate,
yeah.
which is more than some of us see. Some of us who aren't as lucky playing the stock see sometimes.
Right.
But no, putting it into your business is where you get ultimate control of it anyway. How it's spent, how it's invested, and how it's going to be returned to you. So that's an investment that is very unusual and very flexible.
Now, one of the things that you run into a problem with is when you loan yourself money from the company, and if this gets too egregious, the IRS will claim those as dividends, won't they?
Yes, they will. You've got to be very, very careful, especially in C corporations. If you are loaning money to yourself, you need to have that documentation, and you need to pay back the interest, and you need to make some sort of effort to pay it back. Just continually taking the money out from year to year is not going to be acceptable.
One of these days, if you've loaned yourself $50,000 over a few year period, and there doesn't seem to be any progress on the repayment, you have an audit. The IRS might call that a dividend and charge a tax on it.
Yeah, and especially if you get to the end of the corporation and you decide you're going to shut it down and you still owe it money, shutting it down does not clear up that debt.
Exactly. Yep. Sarah, mm-hmm. let's move on and talk about the email.
Okay.
If I can find them here. Here we go. Yeah, I want to talk about a couple of email here quickly before we wrap up the hour. And we're going to come back, folks. Next time Sarah's with us, we're going to finish up on the accounting. But I've got some email here. Sarah, this is from Vatsala, mm-hmm. and she says, I am an H-4 visa holder, and my husband is an H-1B visa holder. We would like to start a small home-based business. Is it possible for me to start one with these existing visas?
Well, the first thing I want you to do is go back and read the visa. There are visas that allow you to work. There are visas that are only for visitors and tourists. There are visas that are only for unpaid internships and unpaid volunteer positions.
Right.
Each visa is different, and the regulations of that visa are clearly written with the paperwork that you have. The types of visas that she's talking about, by and large, do not allow you to receive funds.
Mm-hmm.
So starting a small business and receiving income could violate your visa and wind up potentially risking their livelihood in the United States.
Right. Thank you, Sarah, for that. And I've got one more. We're going to cover one more excellent email, folks, when we come back right after these messages. It's 50 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. All right, we're back at 54 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I want to tell you quickly what's coming up. As I mentioned earlier, Joan Pride with the Kiplinger Letters is going to be with us coming up in the next hour. And then tomorrow, in the first hour, Lewis Key is going to be with us, and he's been with us once before. And we're going to be talking about prepaid legal services. Now, Sarah might not like this idea, but he has an organization called Prepaid Legal Services. Actually, Sarah, it might not be something you might want to check into. But
got my resume in.
It's a very interesting. Have you really?
Yeah.
Good for you. It's a very interesting concept, and we had a great visit with Lewis when he was here before. Also, I'll remind you that Doug Stives, our resident CPA, and Rick Pinion, our resident financial planner, are going to be with us in the same hour to talk about pension plans for your small businesses. So that's all coming up. I'm looking forward to that. And don't forget, I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, broadcasting live from the Small Business Survival Summit. Sarah Calvert is our special guest. Sarah, let's talk about an email I got here. This email came in because of you. Dear Jim, I enjoy your show as I drive into work every morning. By the way, this is from Don. I enjoy your show as I drive to work every morning. Two questions for you. I'm ready to hire my first and second employee, yet do not know what paperwork is required to do so. Do you have any reference material you could recommend for my reading? Okay, you're on, Sarah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I wasn't sure there's more of that. The interesting thing about hiring employees is about 80% of it is state-based. So the first thing you do is you turn to your best small business CPA, and you say, CPA, teach me all I need to know about the state taxes in this area, and they will tell you about any reporting requirements. For example, here in Virginia, when we have a new employee, we have to report a new employee to the state agency that tracks child welfare, because this is how they pick up all the deadbeat dads.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a requirement when we hire a new employee, is that we've got to make that report.
Right.
We also have to make a report to the Unemployment Commission so people understand when people are employed and when they aren't.
All right.
And then you'll find you need to start to make some of these quarterly reports that come from the IRS. You need to tell the IRS that you've hired somebody, and that in the monthly reports or the quarterly reports, depending on how often you have to file. And you'll find that things like 941s and employer forms are all very well explained in the circular. There's an employer circular that comes out from the IRS. If you read that carefully, and it's not fun reading, I don't recommend it as light reading. But,
it's a cure for insomnia, isn't it?
Yes, it's definitely a cure for insomnia. But if you take a good look through that, the circulars on employment are outstanding from the IRS, and they will explain to you all of the different pieces of paper that must be filed in relationship to having employees.
If you were going to hire your first and second employee,
mm-hmm.
would you do the paperwork yourself, or would you try to hook up with a CPA?
Absolutely not. I would never. I'm an attorney. I read and parse forms all day long, but when it comes to the IRS, I made a mistake when I first went into business, and I tried to calculate my own taxes on my paralegal and my secretary. And by the end of the year, I was $2,500 off.
So you recommend that we find
payroll services or CPAs, either
somebody one. Somebody to do your forms for you.
Absolutely. If this is not your forte, if you are not a genius at numbers, don't try and do these things yourself. As a professional, I hire other professionals to help me do my work, and I would highly recommend you do the same.
Well said, Sarah. And here's the second question. I also want to know how to get in touch with one of your regular guests. She is Sarah, the small business attorney located in Fairfax. He was listening. Quickly, phone number and fax. Website.
800-526-5665, 703-591-5315. The webpage is www.calvertandassociates.com.
Sarah, got to wrap it up for this hour. You did great today. You helped a lot of folks, and we're going to do it again next week, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Sarah. See you later.
Take care.
See you next week in Washington.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, just like Todd, operating his restaurant out there in Arkansas City, Kansas. Because without your courage, Todd, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back in a few minutes. Sarah Calvert, she's a small...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.